This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 166 of The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world, week beginning Monday the 29th of August, 2011, with me, Andy Zaltzman, or Zaltor the Merciless, ruler of all, destroyer of dreams, father of the vengeful furies of everlasting pain. Live in Edinburgh, and with me, live in the city where dark swans twang heavy on the silken banjo of misery, where a lonely milkman barks his aching howl as dawn drops its leaden despondence on the scowls of the infirm, where hammers whack nails and shells are born. By which I mean also in Edinburgh. It's John Oliver!
Hello, Andy!
Hello, John.
Hello, Buglers. That's where you're supposed to say that out loud. I'm back! We're back! The band that no one ever wanted to reform is back, Andy. We're back! I've been here for a few days, been a great deal of fun, and Andy, I left on Monday night. On Tuesday, New York had an earthquake, and now there is a full state of emergency called for a hurricane. I can't leave that city, Andy.
No, you can't. You're basically holding that whole shit together.
Well, I didn't think that was the case. Well, that's not true. I did think that was the case, but I didn't know that was the case.
Well, similarly, when I came up to Edinburgh at the start of August, I left London, it was a city of peace and prosperity and hope, and within about 48 hours, it was just a pile of burning buses and looted shops. So, yeah. I mean, it does seem that, you know, the Bugle is basically holding the world together.
Yeah, and you can't mess with it too much.
I mean, what's going to happen to Edinburgh after, you know, you leave on Saturday and I leave on Tuesday morning?
Well,
I mean, it does not look good at all.
It will sink into the Firth of Forth.
That's right. Sweet accent, John.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Got casting coming up?
Well, I don't think I need to do casting anymore, Andy. When you've been in a film which has grossed $370 million.
Do you get daily updates on that, John?
No, I look for them. I look for them to throw at you. I go to something called Box Office Mojo. Hold on. I've got the internet down here again.
All right.
Boxofficemojo.com. Now, how did I do this last time? Oh, it's quite slow down here.
Right. So I guess this pretty much affects whether or not you can afford to feed Hoagie, doesn't it?
Puppy. Hoagie's going to be in luck.
He's going to get some liver.
Here we go. Oh, there's some more news. Smurfs holds off Planet of the Apes overseas. Right.
Should you not be, like, checking whether Gaddafi's still in power first, or do you think, really?
No.
Okay, let's see. Yesterday in Glasgow, the Liberal Democrat leader, Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, was attacked with a load of blue paint, and, I mean, where were you yesterday when that happened, John?
Listen, viral marketing is a valid advertising strategy for any film now. Not that the Smurfs need it, as it is $333 million
really?
In total.
Hasn't that gone down by $40 million in the last minute?
Yeah, I think probably because I'm mentioning it.
All right. So we've had a lot of fun at the political animal gigs. It's like the Elvis reunions, but with two Elvises and no one really giving a shit. But they were fun gigs. And how's the Edinburgh experience been for you, John, 6 years after you were last up here?
Well, it's been great, Andy. You know, it's a city that I love, a festival that I love.
If only that feeling had been mutual.
It was very much a one-way relationship, yeah. But, you know, we've turned that indifference into, at best, curiosity.
So anyway, Buglers, at the end of this Bugle, we will play you out with the opening section from the Tuesday Political Animal, the first time John and I have been on stage together in the UK for over 5 years.
Yep.
So we will play you that section, and it will seriously blow your minds, or mildly entertain you, or cause you distress and pain. But anyway, we're going to play it anyway, and you will have to live with the consequences.
Top story this week, Gaddafi's last stand. And Gaddafi is dead, Andy. He's dead, isn't he? He must be dead. We're all celebrating. He must be dead.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure he's... I mean, he's dead inside, John, but I mean that's been the case for a long time.
Yeah, it's just been... Gaddafi's dead inside. We killed him. We killed something deep inside him. The hope for the future. We killed him.
Yeah, there's been a $1 million bounty put on Gaddafi's head, dead or alive, preferably for the sake of legal convenience. I imagine NATO is preferring A, dead, rather than B, alive. But please, Buglers, if you do find Gaddafi, do not be tempted to keep him. He has a limited resale value. And if he is on eBay, if you find Gaddafi and put him on eBay, we cannot be held responsible for me bidding for him. But, that would be a nice thing to have in your house. Isn't it?
A Gaddafi?
Yeah.
Just ornamental Gaddafi.
The best kind of Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm. Or you could kind of embed him in your front door and use him as a doorbell.
Yeah, that'd be good. Punch him on the nose.
Well, just Gaddafi poke him. Squeak. Poke him in the eye. Ah! Yeah. Ah!
Oh, that's ah! The door.
What kind of time is this?
Does he eat or not, Gaddafi?
I don't think so.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy. I mean, he's such a monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
Probably. He doesn't really eat. Just osmosis.
He's been up to his old tricks, Andy. During a broadcast on a local TV station, he pledged martyrdom or victory.
What a game show. That is what television needs. Too much of these little lame-ass quiz shows.
Yeah.
Talent shows. Let's have something with something real on the line. Let's see how much people really want to be celebrities. And martyrdom is pretty much your grade A way to celebrity.
It's a win-win.
It worked for Jesus, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why it's a feel-good game show that you're suggesting.
Arguably, Jesus' whole public profile was based on him being a good martyr rather than a good magician and raconteur, which is what he'd previously done.
Magician and raconteur, Andy?
Yeah, that's basically without the spin and the PR.
So speaks... know. Just a murderer.
Strip away the layers, John.
But he was also claiming on a local TV station this week that he was still in the capital, Tripoli. He said, "I've been out a bit in Tripoli discreetly without being seen by people, and I did not feel that Tripoli was in danger." Every part of that sentence is untrue, Andy. Every little part. "I've been out a bit in Tripoli discreetly." No. "Without being seen by people." Incorrect. "I did not feel Tripoli was in danger." If that's true, he's mad.
Or he hasn't been watching the news.
Yeah. So,
and he should probably, I guess in his line of work, he needs to keep abreast of the news. You know, because, I mean, people clearly seem quite angry with his leadership. And if he's just blanking out the fact that his own compound is being razed to the ground, he needs to get on top of that.
But is it not possible as well, as a man in his position, that he might be able to walk around the streets of Tripoli right now? Because no one would believe he had the barefaced balls to walk about. You just think, that man looks an amazing amount like Colonel Gaddafi. Yeah. Obviously,
he must be a Colonel Gaddafi impersonator.
Yeah, a good one. There he is, shopping for bread.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem concerned by anything.
No, we love bread, Gaddafi.
Yeah, he did.
He was all about the bread. Two baguettes every morning. He couldn't function without two baguettes.
That's a lot of bread, Andy. It would slow him down.
Well, no, and that's, I think, why he gradually lost his grip on power, due to a bad diet. But they found some amazing things. As always, there is absolutely one thing that a despot will give you, and it's arguably worth enduring the four decades of pain and persecution to get there. But you know, when a despot is overthrown, you are going to find some crazy shit in his house. And amongst various bits of crazy shit, perhaps the craziest that has been found so far in the Gaddafi compound is a photo album stocked to the brim with pictures of Condoleezza Rice.
Crazy, Andy. Crazy.
Crazy in a Patsy Cline kind of way. But apparently, he said some amazing things. I mean, we've all been there, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Who does not have a secret stash of Condoleezza Rice photos, cast the first stone?
I have a sequence of Condoleezza Rice photos tattooed on my stomach.
Well, yeah. But some of that was more to get your green card than anything else, wasn't it?
I said I'd do whatever it took, Andy. I didn't leave anything on the field.
Yeah, I mean, she looks great on a moped, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I didn't say how I was going to picture her. I just said she was going to be on there.
Yeah. And that car wash one. Wow. Anyway. But he said some amazing things about Condoleezza Rice in the past. In 2007, speaking to Al Jazeera, he was going on about his fondness for Condoleezza Rice. And he says, "I support my darling black African woman." Now, as chat-up lines go, John, uh-huh. I don't know how effective that was going to be with mm-hmm. Condoleezza. But she's not really renowned for putting out, is she?
No. If anything...
Over the years.
If anything, the opposite, Andy. She's waiting for Mr. Right to come along. Mr. Extreme Right. Boom!
Oh!
Boom! I still got it, Andy.
Still got it. Even on this side of the Atlantic.
Hold on. I never had it, but I now found it. I've got it.
Rice apparently responded to the "I support my darling black African woman" chat-up line by saying, "I'm a former professor of political science from Stanford University, a graduate of the universities of Denver and Notre Dame and the Joseph Corbell Institute of International Studies." Gaddafi replied, "Oh, yeah." Rice, "Look, I have a distinguished career in top-level politics. I think I need more respect than this." Gaddafi, "Bring it to me, baby." Rice, "I'm also a highly accomplished pianist to almost professional level." Gaddafi, "Is this supposed to be putting me off?" "Roll me home, sugar chunk." Rice. Rice, "I don't really go for despots. Just not, you know, just not my kind of guy." Gaddafi, "Don't knock it till you've tried it, sweet cheeks." Rice, "I just don't really want to get tied down in a relationship right now at this stage of my life. It's just not the right thing for me." Gaddafi, "Relationship? It was more the tying down I was thinking about."
Oh.
Hootie and the honey hips. Rice, "Look, I'm really, really busy with stuff." Gaddafi, "Only you can make this world seem right. Only you." So it never quite came off, but, you know, give it time. It's a slow burner, isn't it?
I'm checking updates, Andy, on whether he's still alive or dead. Still alive at the moment. I mean, this is a minute-by-minute issue now. The Red Cross have just released a statement urging all sides to respect the rules of war. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
Well done, Red Cross. Is that? I hope that's not the main plan of the Red Cross, Andy.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of standing between two men as a drunk lady and screaming, "Leave him, Darren, he's not worth it."
"I want a good, clean fight. Right, touch gloves. Where we go." But, yeah, I mean, what... Is that the technical rules of war or the unwritten rules of war?
I don't know. Again, they need to be more specific, or yep. Sun Tzu's Art of War.
Yeah.
Maybe it's... urge all sides to respect the Art of War.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been... It's a kind of weird war to watch on the telly. That's... people just wearing T-shirts and shorts firing massive machine guns.
Yeah, into the air.
Yeah, well, it's grouse shooting season in Libya.
Right.
It? It's a bit earlier than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's understandable. They found some other things, John. Italy's Corriere della Sera newspaper reported that they found a unique electric car from the Milanese car manufacturer Castagna, whose brief from Gaddafi was to create an electric car with a cream interior and a green shell in the shape of a Fiat 500. What kind of half-arsed dictator are you, Gaddafi?
That's sad.
An electric Fiat 500?
That's sad.
Have some balls, man.
Ugh.
You can have a tank. I mean, you've probably already got a tank, but you cannot... as a dictator, you cannot drive a Fiat 500.
Yeah.
That could be where his whole regime started crumbling.
Yeah, that's taken the thrill of the chase out of this for me, to be honest.
But they always find stuff in dictators' compounds, and often it's the supposedly socialist leaders who prove not immune to the temptations of consumerism, as we've mm-hmm. seen time and time and time again. Kim Jong-il's water slides, Ceausescu's palace, they found a 10-foot gold statue of Michael J. Fox in Teen Wolf. Mad enough, that film. Little Ceausescu. That's how George Bush referred to him, Ceausescu.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Ceausescu.
And coincidentally, the headline the morning after Garry Kasparov's stag night, when he ended up dressed as Marilyn Monroe on a dairy farm, drunk off his kielbasses, losing to a heifer at chess after an...
Keep going, Andy. Push through.
Ill-advised Napoleonic defence.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't really know what to say about that, Andy.
Oh, no, I guess it's... You just can't handle the truth, John, can you? And Joseph Stalin, when he died, left in his will an unmatched collection of novelty duvet covers.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you'd expect, you know, your Mickey Mouse's, your Donald Ducks, your Lenin's, your Judy Garland's. But also ones, slightly surprising, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's playing baseball. One depicting all of Isambard Kingdom Brunel's top 20 feats of engineering. Mae West's changing the tyres on a bicycle. And one of Florence Nightingale in a bikini, nursing someone. The bikini was under a nurse's uniform, but still. Oh, yeah. In the New York Times, John.
Yes.
A journalist wrote, that's your newspaper.
That's my home local newspaper, Andy. As if I manage to get back home through a hurricane.
And of course that massive had that massive picture of us in it last week.
Yeah.
So very fine newspaper, clearly. Anthony Shadid wrote about Tripoli. There was unease. There was a sense of the ephemeral, like the last hours of a long party. Buglers, if you ever get invited to the New York Times Christmas party, politely decline. What kind of parties does Anthony Shadid go to?
Yeah, there ain't no party like a New York Times party, Andy, because a New York Times party don't stop.
That is taking partying beyond its logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we all love to topple a statue at a party, John. I mean, heaven knows I've been there often enough myself. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that is a major party.
Didn't you ruin the Queen's 70th birthday party? Well, pushing over a statue of her mum.
Well...
Saying, one day, laws of gravity.
Yeah. Well,
she's going down.
Physical satire, John.
And you were right. You were right. No, she did die.
Yeah.
Tragically, at 101, of natural causes.
Or did she, John?
Good point.
Or did she fake her own death?
Well, because she did look quite a lot like Colonel Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah.
Could it be?
Could it be
that she lived out the rest of her life as Colonel Gaddafi?
Do call in.
But that's the odd thing. Andy and I are sitting in a radio studio.
Yeah. In Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
It's 10 in the morning and we finished our gig last night at 3.
I think they can probably tell that from our tone of voice, Andy. And Andy's even sitting... Andy has access to the faders.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is... No!
Goodbye, John.
Fade me up!
Goodbye, John.
Fade me up!
Children!
Sorry, Chris. I just love the feeling of power.
You can't be trusted with a fader, Andy.
No? Look, what makes you say that, John?
Oh, Andy, no! No! You see, Andy, this is...
Sonically, this is exactly what happened with Gaddafi. He basically had the fader of Libya at his fingertips.
Yes.
And he f***ed it.
Really? Well, I'm not sure that that's necessarily true, John. I guess what... I've done the wrong one.
Did you just fade yourself down?
He did.
You see, Andy?
Well, see, that's really what Gaddafi did, John. That's really what he did.
Oh, he faded himself down? Yeah. Oh.
That was a little bit of satirical mixing I did there. Did you like that?
That was DJ satire. What? Your emails now, and we have an email from Gorzad from Ljubljana, who said under the subject line, "Is Andy going soft?" He said, "I was just listening to the Bugle number 164 where John was chanting about US loss of its AAA rating to Standard & Poor's agency and was surprised that the king of puns..." It's you, Andy.
Unelected king.
That's how kings are.
Yes, yeah.
Elected by God, Andy.
Divinely appointed. Yeah.
Did not pick up on that. Come on, he says it's a perfect pun. Triple A is triple A, which sounds like Tripoli. Tripoli, of course, being the largest city and capital of Libya. So no wonder that the Libyan people are celebrating. No matter how bad things will get, they will always have their triple A.
If I was the king of puns and I had given that, that is the kind of thing that sparks a revolution.
What, really?
That would have been my Tsar Nicholas II's dangling his wang in the Dnieper moment. Is that what he did? Is that what kicked the whole Russian Revolution off? I'm not sure. Anyway. My history is a little bit hazy. Yeah. I always think history's easier if you invent it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's obviously true.
Yeah. It's always been the way. They say history is written by the winners.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that history can be written by literally anyone. And I would encourage you all to do that, Fuglis. Now, also, there have been, as always, a number of emails aggressively cussing Chris. Also, at our live gigs, we've had a number of people abusing Chris in absentia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how long has this been going on now, Chris? Two years, is it?
Well, what was the first show I did? It was about Bugle 100 and a little bit.
Yeah.
Nearly
2 years.
I think it's that attention to detail that infuriates people, Chris.
I mean, I'm just not going to... I think we've done this before and it's not had any effect, but maybe now is the time for a f*** you, Chris Amnesty.
Yeah. The way the world is now, perhaps now more than ever, we should be bringing people together.
Yeah. Interestingly, a loyal bugler, on the last time we called for a f*** you, Chris Amnesty, a loyal bugler who also works in genetic engineering in the floral sector, bred a f*** chrysanthemum, which is now the biggest selling flower amongst bugle listeners.
So you're the first person to break your own amnesty there, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
That was really disciplined, Andy. That took, I think, about 34 seconds.
Anyway... Just leave him alone. He's got a wife and potentially in the future kids. What are they going to think when they listen to this in 30 years' time? Think, what monster do we come from? Cut him some slack. I do keep your emails coming into the Bugle at timesonline.co.uk, although we will be away for the next 2 weeks, so I'll get back to you that quickly. But now, as promised at the start of the gig... We are now going to play you out with the opening section from Tuesday's Political Animal, and thanks to all buglers who came to those gigs and made them such fun to do. Mm-hmm. And here it is. This is, well, we'd done a little bit on stage in John's Comedy Central special about 3.5 years ago. But this, apart from that, this was the first time...
First time in 5 years.
Yeah.
You could feel the electricity in the air.
Yeah, I think that was just an overfilled venue.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed beyond its fire safety certificate regulations, but no, it was fine. It was absolutely fine. But it was a fun gig, Buglers, and I do enjoy this bit. And over the next next week, we'll have more from this gig and the other gigs. Ladies and gentlemen, we do now have clearance for the show to start. Calm down. And please welcome to the stage your two compares for tonight. Firstly, in association with his proud commercial sponsors, Kalashnikov, the rifle you can't stifle. It's the mouth from down south, the joke machine from Postal District SW16. The stand-up who puts his hand up if he wants more pudding. The lapsed Jew who was 32 4 years ago. If the critics don't dig it, they're anti-Semitic. The Joker, once described in a national newspaper as grindingly mediocre. Ages ago. It was absolutely ages ago. Honestly, it was ages ago. He's equipped with quips. He has no allergy to contrived analogy. He floats like a whale corpse, stings like a gas bill. The laughter crafter who gives birth to mirth, then suckles chuckles at the tit of wit. And reigning WBO and IBF bantamweight champion of the world with a stand-up comedy career record of more than 100 laughs in just 12 years. From the Northern Hemisphere, the unelected deputy mayor of Funny Town himself, the man they call Modus, Upper Andy Zaltzman! Also, please welcome John Oliver!
Yes! Yes, 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 yes.
Hello,
we're Adam. Back like we've never been away, Andy.
Where were you lot 5 years ago? So
I'd never have had to leave if you'd just been here 5 years ago, but you pushed me away. I didn't leave, you forced me out.
So, how's it been in America, John? How's it been going? Right.
It's been very pleasant, yeah. Andy. It's great living in a country that is watching its empire slip through its fingers. It's like living in a country with the wind of history rushing past your ears. I was in America this morning, so I'm f***ing tired. That's not a joke. That's a stone cold biological fact.
Yeah. Have you got any jokes?
Wow, you got f***ing abrasive in 5 years. Jesus, the dynamic of this double act has changed. And I remember you leaning over to me and saying, got any jokes? Okay, I'll handle it then. Jesus.
Let me fill in.
Do you want me to be your hype man? I can come in every fourth word, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. So, when I look at the state of the world, I've become quite a pessimistic man.
Listen to him.
Very pessimistic.
Very.
I guess, in that respect, I'm a bit like a German vegetarian. I fear the worst. Watch and learn, Pickles. Watch and learn.
That joke had about a 60% approval rating there, but that was a very vocal 40%. You managed to Gaddafi your way through that one, but I don't know. I'm satired.
Are you, have we got any Gaddafi fans in tonight? Sorry. Which Gaddafi? Well, the daddy, I guess.
Wow, I have missed heckles of that quality, to be honest. Which Gaddafi, Andy? Be specific. Don't make me narrow that down for you.
So, I don't like Gaddafi.
Really?
I don't like him.
Back that up.
I don't want to offend any colonels in the crowd. I'm not saying all colonel. I'm just saying he was a rogue colonel. And I think, you know, at best, he was an aggressive conversationalist. And that just doesn't play well with our British sensibilities, does it?
No.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've made some mistakes with Gaddafi over the years. We've been... the European Union was selling Gaddafi £300 million worth of weapons a year. John, since you left.
Yes.
So it's on your conscience.
I don't think there's a direct connection there.
You personally were keeping a lid on the British arms trade to Libya. And you went pursuing your own career dream. And now thousands of people are dead.
Let me just point out that my career dream was being able to live hand to mouth, which I could no longer do here. This is not Captain Hollywood behaviour. Right. I just wanted not to be hungry at night.
Okay.
Also, I think we learnt... I'm going to dip deep into our canon here, Andy. I think we learnt the key law regarding... Jesus, that's poorly set up. The key law regarding nuclear weapons... No, weapons. Forget the nuclear part. I'm tired. The key law regarding weapons is never sell ballistic weapons to anyone who has a 40-metre-high portrait of themselves somewhere in their capital city. That is Oliver Zaltzman Gold.
There you go.
Put a date mark on that. That is 2004.
It's basic psychology. I think giving Gaddafi all those weapons is a bit like releasing Heston Blumenthal in a zoo for endangered species. Armed... only with a frying pan, a hammer, and a blowtorch. You are going to regret that instantly. So, what, mate? So what?
It's good to be back, Andy.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's good to see these jokes from the side again. I've missed your silhouette.
You're the first person who's ever said that to me.
Oh.
Oh, good. So how's our American party? Are you looking forward to the election, John?
Yes. Which one?
The US election.
The US election. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that very much because it's the greatest country in the world. F*** you, number one. You pushed me away. You pushed me. Oh, you forced me into this.
Really,
I'm looking forward to it.
Really the best nation in the world?
It is.
Are you sure?
For me, it is. They were the only ones that took me in, Andy. It was on the base of the Statue of Liberty. It was giving me your poor, tired, hungry, and completely devastated, demoralised comedy performance.
Did you not try Guatemala?
I didn't. That was my backup plan. It's Guatemala is everyone's backup plan. Ask Reagan. Was that Guatemala?
Near enough, I reckon. You know.
That's exactly what he said.
Oh, if it was.
I'm back. I'm back. I'm back, Andy.
So, was back. It was very upsetting when Ronald Reagan died because there was some.
Hold on, this is a long bit.
The long bit hasn't been done for a while as well. So anyway, but when he died, there was this terrible misprints on the front page of the newspapers. Said Ronald Reagan dies at 93. Of course, it was a misprint. They missed out the hyphen. Supposed to say Ronald Reagan dies at 9-3. So he sadly passed away midway through a best of 25 frame snooker match against Mikhail Gorbachev. To be honest, he was playing really well. You know, Gorbachev didn't really have any really answer to Reagan's safety play. He just kept tucking up safe at the bulk end, and Gorbachev got impatient and went in and smashed the Reds up himself. There you go. It's a Cold War snooker analogy. Who said I've lost my edge?
Just come to America, change snooker to pool. That will still work. I think one of the things that has made us so f***ed economically, and by us, I'm going to include Britain in that. Why not? Why not? Has been that we teach children terribly about how economics works. I don't, let me be clear. I do not understand economics. I've lived for 34 years on this planet, three elsewhere. And I still don't get it. To me, economics is like the Dutch language. I'm told it makes sense, but I seriously have my doubts.
Were the three elsewhere in Smurfland?
It's perhaps incredible that during the global economy at the moment, Smurfs has grossed $170 million domestic, $250 million worldwide. The budget was $110 million. I don't care whether you enjoyed it or not. Any way you cut it, that's a huge success. Love Guru was a disaster. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Who watched it here? You don't know. You don't know. You can't use it as a touchstone for failure unless you've seen it. As it happens, it's a lucky guess. It's a poor movie. But you don't know that.
Well, John, if you'd only had the patience to stick it out here doing one radio series every 3 years, you wouldn't have had to do those films. You wouldn't have had to do the film.
Then the world would never have had Dick Pants, who was in The Love Guru, and you would have got that if you'd watched it rather than you using it as a barometer of disaster. I can still go linguistic even when I'm tired.
Barometer of disaster was a review I had for my first ever film. But so I think we need to learn from the... We can learn a lot from the American economy. I felt always
thank you.
So particularly from the American mortgage sector that seemed to kick the whole disaster off. A very important lesson. That lesson is that if you do lend a lot of money to people who have absolutely no way of paying that money back, then conceivably, they might not pay that money back. Now, that is the kind of thing we can only learn by trial and error, isn't it? I would say it's very much like slamming your testicles in a car door. Until you actually do it, you don't know for sure right. Whether or not it will hurt.
That's fair.
You cannot build the global economy on hypothetically painful testicles, as John Maynard Keynes himself once said.
Before saying, oof. It doesn't help that we don't teach children about banking at all well. We teach them about banking by giving them piggy banks that they can put their money into and then they can leave and then return and get it whenever they need it. That is no longer preparing them for the world they're about to inherit. If we really want to teach them about banking, we should give them talking piggy banks that they can put their money in, leave, come back, and then have the piggy bank look up at them and say, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is all your money is gone. Me and the other piggies pooled our money for a series of catastrophic investments with some very complicated credit default swaps. I can't get into it now, but it didn't work out too well. The good news is, I'm fine. Take that, banking.
Take that, banking.
That's got to sting.
I think, it's weird, isn't it? America, right at the centre of all this.
Yes.
The world's greatest capitalist economy. The world's greatest nation in your own words. Your own deeply unpatriotic traitor's words. And why don't you just wipe your arse with a £10 note? bounty.
Well, I would if it was worth as much as it had been 5 years ago. I'm right here. I'm right. You know where I am. I'm right here for 3 more days, then I'm going home. That's right. Home.
Judas! Joe f***ing loud.
So, anyway. But, oh, I had another bit that was going to do there. Anyway, I can't remember. Yeah, no, I think we've also learned in the world of finance, we've learned the dangers of unregulated financial markets, and there simply are not enough jokes that start with that as a setup line. If I have my way by this time next year, all jokes will start with that as a setup line. Hey, there's a danger in unregulated financial markets. That's what dogs think, but cats, they think deregulation is the way to go. What's up with that? But Adam Smith, the 18th century celebrity economist, and please...
You're not making me less tired,
please,
Andrew.
Please, please. John, I expect to be heckled, not by you. John, Adam Smith, and I'll probably make this a bit longer now, just to punish
okay,
you, John.
Fine.
It works as a kind of inverse caffeine. But, Adam Smith, the 18th century celebrity economist, he, and do pay attention, I've read nearly all of Adam Smith's Wikipedia entry. He wrote about the invisible hand that's supposed to guide the financial markets, make sure nothing goes too far wrong, this kind of self-regulating, benevolent force, the invisible hand, nudging things in the right direction, so you don't need too much state regulation. Now, this is all very well in theory, but there is a major problem with this, and I think we all have to ask ourselves a question, and do try to be honest with yourselves as you answer it. If you had an invisible hand, what would you do with it? And here we see the problem in the system we've been relying on. Fundamental human nature. We would nick stuff, flick invisible V signs at people we don't like, and we would grope things. So, got any Adam Smith stuff?
I didn't realise this was like an Eminem rap battle, Andy. Any Adam Smith stuff?
Where did you learn that? It wasn't here.
Well, that's it, Buglers. That's it for this Bugle. I don't think we'll ever do a Bugle where Andy and I are more tired than this.
It's been a long month.
Yep.
But thanks everyone who's come to particularly my solo show.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Andy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bums on seats.
Yep.
It's Bugle show of the year, 2011.
Mm. So, yeah, we're off for the next couple of weeks, Buglers. Yep. We'll be giving you some more extracts from those gigs. Who knows whether Gaddafi will be alive or dead? only Gaddafi can say that, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's still within his power, isn't it? He must have a massive catapult somewhere.
As a betting man, Andy.
Yep.
What odds would you give me on Gaddafi being alive in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks' time? Well, I know he's a big Bugle listener, so he's probably going to try and hang on for a better one than this to go out on.
Yeah. This is no way to die.
I think he'll probably be captured, but alive. Okay. I'm going for caught, but alive.
Okay.
What about you, John?
Dead.
Captured or not captured?
Captured, then dead.
Right.
The classic Bin Laden.
I guess, what if he's not captured, but dead? I mean, how would we know, I guess?
We're going to have to stop this Bugle, Andy. We've got to stop. We're too tired.
For the love of humanity, make it stop.
Thanks very much, Buglers. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye-bye.